The government of Sudan says it will disarm the Arab militias who've driven more than 1 million people from their homes in the Darfur region. But Sudanese refugees in neighboring Chad say the government in Khartoum ordered those militias, known as Janjaweed, to attack them in the first place. And the refugees say it will take far more than disarming the Janjaweed before they return home. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports.
6 months after the United Nations started setting up refugee camps in Chad, tens of thousands of Darfur refugees are still living in the arid, windswept plains outside the camps. On the outskirts of the Tulum refugee camp, newly arrived Ardun Hassan is living under a canopy made of two tattered blankets propped up by sticks. It casts a shadow about the size of a single bed. Hassan sleeps in the sand under this canopy with three other women and eight kids. We have nothing here, Hassan says. The Janjaweed took our animals. Now we have no food, no shelter. She says they survive off the generosity of other refugees. Asked what she does when it rains, Hassan pulls a stiff, dried goat skin out from under a bundle of clothes. I hold this over my head, Hassan says. The fact that Hassan and tens of thousands of other Sudanese refugees choose to stay here is an indication of how deep their fear is of returning home. The Janjaweed and the government soldiers came to kill all the people of our village, Hassan says, and then they burned the village to the ground. Her husband and three of her nine children, she says, were killed in the attack. She says she's afraid to return to Darfur. Like many of the refugees in these camps in eastern Chad, Hassan believes Sudan's president, Omar Bashir, who's Arab, is trying to expel all of the black Africans from Darfur so Sudan can be a purely Arab country. She doubts President Bashir's administration will protect her if she goes back to her home in Darfur. The Tulum camp is made up of row after row of what used to be white canvas tents. Now they're coated in the beige, dusty sand that whips across the treeless landscape. Under a canopy strung between two tents, about 40 men are holding a wake for Mozar Isaac Hussein, who at the age of 80 died the day before. His brother, Ali Diyar, says Hussein died of natural causes. His heart gave out. But Diyar adds that running from the Janjaweed had made Hussein's condition worse. Diyar says there's no way his family can return to Darfur while Omar Bashir remains the president of Sudan.
Omar Bashir is going to kill all black people in Darfur.
If you look in this camp, Diyar says, you won't find any Sudanese Arabs. It's only the black Sudanese who've been forced to flee. The crisis in Darfur has killed tens of thousands and driven more than 1 million people from their homes. Critics of Khartoum say it illustrates the ruthlessness of President Omar Bashir's administration. But the crisis wasn't started by Bashir. It was started a year and a half ago by two rebel groups in Darfur. Adam Ali Shogar is the coordinator of one of those rebel groups, the Sudanese Liberation Army.
We are asking for equal share of power in Sudan. We are asking for our rights in equal share of the wealth of the Sudan.
By an equal share of Sudan's wealth, Shogar is referring to oil. The SLA launched their rebel movement in the west of the country just as the government was on the verge of brokering a peace deal to end a separate civil war in the east. There, the Khartoum government and the Sudanese People's Liberation Army, or SPLA, have been fighting since 1983 over Sudan's oil fields in the southeast of the country. The peace deal they were about to sign, and are expected to finalize soon, divides Sudan's oil wealth 50-50 between Khartoum and the SPLA. Shogar with the SLA says this is unacceptable.
I think the agreement with SPLA is cannot work. This agreement, it is only between two parties, Omar Bashir's party and SPLA. And these two parties not to represent the whole Sudan.
The Sudanese government recently agreed to disarm the Janjaweed in Darfur, but Shogar says this is just the first step. He says political negotiations should then begin about the status of Darfur and the return of refugees. Meanwhile, along the Chad-Sudan border, the refugee camps are starting to resemble small cities. Water systems are being built. Markets are springing up. At the Iridimi camp, a school just opened in recent weeks. The 70 students gather inside a large white tent that in another part of the world might be used for a wedding celebration. The teacher is leading the students through a song to practice counting in Arabic. And around the school, inside the rows and rows of tents, people are settling in for a long wait. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.